Anyway, praise the Lord. Sunday night, we said that sometimes we preach and it's mainly to deal with problems that arise in our lives that come to light, and you have a problem and you know you need a certain treatment for a certain sickness, and you deal with that through the word, and that rebukes you and then you get it corrected. But I like it when messages are to train you in righteousness. You've made some corrections, you're walking with God, and now your life is being built up in the Lord so that you're getting some spiritual bodybuilding going on. Maybe you don't lift weights and do any bodybuilding physically, but spiritually, the Bible says that godliness is a great exercise. That has profit, real profit, that's more lasting than physical fitness. And so we said that we need to be in church, in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday school. We had 109 here. Praise the Lord for that. And sometimes we were talking about people don't know, like what? Anything, right? And they don't know anything, but they get to Sunday school, they begin to learn. It's like a baby, you know. A baby hears you say a word, and I remember we had one of our kids, the first word they said was bird, you know. And then you work from there, and you develop, and you grow. And the Bible says we're to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, you need, thank God for conferences, but for that, you need good old-fashioned church. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. That's the hope for our nation. Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. And when I say Bible-believing, you know which Bible I'm talking about. Amen. And so, you know, I said, and I'll say this, I appreciate those of you that are keeping up with daily reading the Bible. And I try to write a devotional for every day to help, and as a pastor, but to encourage you to read the Bible. Read Leviticus. Go all the way through it. Don't quit. Some people quit by the time they get to Leviticus, you know. Read Numbers and so forth, and the New Testament readings. And I like it when I can preach some messages, and sometimes topical, textual, or textual, many times expository messages, taking portions of Scripture and preach, and it builds you up in your understanding, and you grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like you to turn to Luke 17 tonight. We want to look at part 2 of Luke 17, verses 20 through 37, and there, we have been looking at the subject Christ teaches you concerning his two comings and his kingdom. And we're going now to verse number 20. And notice these two verses I'm going to read, 20 and 21. We preached on these Sunday night. It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, notice that, they demanded him when the kingdom of God should come. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, when he was saying that to the Pharisees, one of the men tell me, true or false, was he saying that God is not going to bring in a geographical, physical kingdom upon the earth through the Messiah? He was rather saying that now he is going to bring in a spiritual kingdom in the hearts of his people. Is that what he was saying there, true or false, Dr. Luke?
True.
He was saying that. Anybody else have a dissenting view?
False.
False. He was not saying that. The theme of the whole Bible is the physical, geographical kingdom of God on earth that can be observed. Even the disciples were called to the Mount of Transfiguration so they could get a preview of the coming kingdom and see the Lord as he was going to be when he comes back, where he was glistering and shining And they saw Elijah, and they saw Moses, who will announce the kingdom during the Great Tribulation. And so, yes, it's physical and observable. Well, then why did he say, he said it just as clear as a bell here, he said, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom is within you. Think about that. If it's not observable, if it is observable, why did he say, neither shall they say, lo here? And he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It won't be observable. That's what he seemed to be saying. Now, what's the answer to that? Don't do it unless you're sure. All right, Steve Manning, I'm going to give you a chance.
Jesus is going to be among, he was saying right then, I'm among you.
Yes, right.
That's what he was saying.
Exactly. Not within your heart. I am among you. I am in the midst of you. That's what he meant. If it was in the heart, then why would he talk to the Pharisees and tell them it's within your heart? Because that's who he was talking to. The Pharisees had unsaved hearts. He wasn't talking about the kingdom in your heart. He was talking about the kingdom among them. He was already offering the kingdom to the Jews. He was getting people saved. And if they would have accepted it, yes, then the kingdom would have come. But he knew they wouldn't accept it. So therefore, he said, it comes not with observation for you. Because they were living their whole life thinking, oh, we're going to see this geopolitical kingdom, but we're going to be right at the head of it. And he was saying, no, you guys are going to hell, actually, unless you're saved. And so we need to understand the misunderstood, as I said Sunday night, teaching about the two comings, but also his kingdom. And that's what we preached about Sunday night, and you should understand that. But also, we started to say the second point is he teaches you, Brother Steve, and all of you, to understand his misunderstood two comings. He is talking here about his two comings, and I would like to look at this again. Take your Bible and look at Luke 17 and verse 22. And the Lord is now doing something that Brother Matthew brought out Sunday night. He says in verse 22, and he said unto his what? He said unto his what?
Disciples.
Now he's turning from his enemies to his disciples. And he is going to teach his disciples. And keep in mind, these disciples are the apostles, and they're the disciples following Christ with the apostles, who are real believers, and therefore they're part of Christ's church. He's building his church. He's going to baptize his church with it in the Holy Spirit, into union with himself on the day of Pentecost, but he's building his church. And so this teaching is what kind of teaching? Church teaching. It's for us who are in the New Testament church. And he teaches you not only to understand his misunderstood kingdom, but he teaches you to understand his two comings. And so, therefore, he wants us to be looking forward to his second coming. And Paul said this, he said in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Listen, if you are fighting a good fight, if you are keeping the faith, if you are being faithful, you love it when you go to a Bible conference. How many of you have gone to a Bible conference and enjoyed it? Yeah, you love it because now you see all the church raptured, you know, and we're all together, and there's great music, and there's great preaching right out of the King James Bible, and it's so encouraging, you see. Well, if you get that at a Bible conference, and I have done it and just been blessed, how much greater is it when Christ comes back? And we're gathered now, and guess who the pastor's going to be? Jesus. Jesus, I'll gladly lay any crown at his feet and say, Lord, be my pastor. And he will serve the Lord's Supper. Can you imagine that? That's why the Catholics are wrong when they say, you know, I just read some Catholic flyer that says, you know, we're eating his literal body. Like, you know, no, he's going to be there and we're going to eat the symbol of it, right? But we're going to have that. And what a time that's going to be to see all the members of the universal church. Because we're that, at that time, we will be a universal church. Amen? At the rapture. So it's something that you love his appearing. If you are really serving the Lord and stretching out for him, you love his appearing. And you should love church when we get raptured every week and come to church. You should love it if you love the Lord and you love his appearing. And you see that in the Bible with the old widow lady by the name of Anna. Is Anna an old widow lady? No, this Anna is a young lady. She's not an old widow lady. But Anna in the Bible, I don't know if she was named after that. But Anna in the Bible. But Anna in the Bible was an old widow lady, probably well over 100 years old, and in the temple, and she was praying constantly, praying. She had a prayer ministry, and she was living to see the coming of the Lord because people had been waiting. One of the men tell me how long since God first promised the kingdom of God in the Lord's coming, how long had people been waiting when Anna saw the literal first coming of the Lord? You say, how'd she see it? An eight-day-old baby called Christ, Jesus, the Messiah. But how long had people been waiting for that kingdom? Anybody know that? Brother Bob is going to go after it. Amen. This is getting up there.
Approximately 4,000 years since the garden.
Right on. 4,000 years since Genesis 3:15, given in the Garden of Eden, and waiting. Can you imagine that? Waiting for 4,000 years. How many of you could wait for four? No, you can't live that long. But people even in heaven are waiting. They're waiting. You say, how do you know people in heaven are waiting for the coming of the Lord? And because Abraham, Jesus said, when he came, Abraham was jumping up and down in Abraham's bosom in paradise at the center of the earth. He's going, yay, he's here. I was living for that day. You see, something's wrong with you if you're not living for the coming of the Lord. Now, his first coming already happened, so you can't live for that to happen. It's happened. But his second coming, how long have we been waiting? About 2,000 years for that. But, oh, I'm waiting. I pray sometimes, Lord, let me live into the end time. Let me go right up into the rapture. Let me be here. Even my body's like this, falling apart, you know, like Joe Biden. Let me be here. Boom! Man, I'm fired up. I'm like, rapture! Glory to God. It'll be great. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. That is the ultimate fulfillment of that scripture in Isaiah. And so, not to love his appearing, not to preach about his second coming. There are churches, people don't even preach about it, talk about it. Man, I'm so glad for Anna that she loves it. You love his appearing, Anna? I hope you do, Anna. And I know this Anna did. And then there was a godly prophet by the name of Simeon. He was an old man too. And he was told as a prophet of God, directly by God, he said, you will not die, Simeon, until you see Christ come. Here he is, 8 days old, in his mother's arms, coming in with his adopted father and his biological mother, coming in, the Christ of God, into the temple to be circumcised, as the law required. And Simeon was told by the Spirit of God, there he is. And Simeon looked at him and he's like, yay! And then he gave a prophecy about him. And he talked about him being for the fall and rising again. Many in Israel. A lot of people are going to fall from their position. It kind of reminds me of Donald Trump. When he came on the scene, you see all these people with what's called Trump derangement syndrome. It's just simply the anointed of God that's been raised up for our country, and people hate it. And so they have that derangement syndrome. If you fight Jesus Christ now, that's worse than fighting a man. You're fighting God. And you will not win. You'll be broken on that stone. Either you'll put your faith in that rock called Jesus, or you'll be broken. And there are people that profess to be saved. They're no more saved than a doorknob. By the fruits you'll know them. And so they'll split hell wide open, just like the Pharisees profess to be believers. And I'm just here to tell you, except you're born again, you're not getting in. You got to be born again. Have you been born again? And so, you know, that is a blessing, a wonderful blessing. I was born again when I was 17. I believe it happened on June the 16th on a Friday in 3303 Thompson Avenue, Muskegon, Michigan. God's country, amen. But I got saved and born again, and I had a new life. You say, well, did you go back in your mom's belly? Nope. I was reborn in my spirit, amen. And then I got baptized after that. So I'm just saying, you need to be born again or you're not going to get into this kingdom.
Right.
And that's why the Pharisees were never going to see it. But Anna got in. She saw it. Simeon saw it. He loved the Lord's appearing. And let me just read Luke 17:22 again. It says, "And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it." Ye shall not see it. Now, one of the men tell me, when he said that in verse 22, what day was he talking about? When you'll desire to see the Son of Man, and he says, you will not see it. What day is he talking about? Brother Matthew, still getting these on. All right.
One of the days of our Lord's mediatorial glorified kingdom.
No. No. Because when that happens, you do see it. He will be with you in the kingdom. He's not talking about that day. What day is he talking about, Dr. Luke?
The day of the Lord's wrath.
Nope. That is the day of, that is part of his. We'll be excited when the Lord's wrath, when we can see the sign of the Lord's wrath.
The Great Tribulation?
The Great Tribulation. No, that's in the next verse. You got to rightly divide the word of truth. Oh, we struck out. Oh, Brother Bob. All right, let me go to the deep well here. Brother Bob.
During the time that we're building the church.
Yay! Amen. By the way, I said it Sunday night. I said it Sunday night. It's the days when the bridegroom is absent. And Jesus said, you'll fast then. You're feasting now, but you'll fast then. And you will long for his coming. You will want his coming. How many of you could say, I've had times in my heart when I've wanted the Lord to come back? Amen. Now, sometimes we want the Lord to come back just because we're not living for the Lord. We want to get out that way. But no, I want to come, the Lord to come back when I'm ready to meet him. You know, it's like a bride when she's all ready for the wedding, man. She wants the wedding to get on here. She's got everything together. And that's the way it should be for us. You see, if you are looking forward and loving and desiring his coming, my friends, then you are getting ready for it, like a bride does, her wedding day. If you're not, then, you know, you don't love his coming. And that's a problem because one of the great signs of a believer that's right with God, certainly, is that we desire his coming and to see him, right, and to be with him. Even Paul, he could say, hey, I'd like to die. I'd like to die because absent from the body, he said, present with the Lord, and that's better than what I got. That's how he felt. And he said, but for your sake, I want to stay here. I mean, he was really a mature Christian. Amen. But I'm just saying that this is what this is talking about. It's talking about that. Now, somebody said the Great Tribulation, and that is really good. Let's go ahead with that and look at verse 23. And I think we're going to preach on that tonight. I had other stuff to say, but I'm going to skip right down, and we're gonna look at that tonight. Verse 23, and it says, let me read it, "And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them." You see, Brother Bobby just said that right now, during the time when the church is being built by the Lord, people are getting saved and baptized, that's when we desire to see Christ come back. But in verse 23, he's talking about a future time. He's talking about the end of the church dispensation. And he's saying these words. Let me look at it again. You look in your Bible now. At verse 23, it says, "And they shall say to you," they, whoever they are, "shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them." All right, so he is talking about a future time, not this present time, but it's a future time, which will be the end of this church mission outreach that we have. And so Brother Jose already told me what time that will be. Say it out loud. It'll be the time of the Great Tribulation. Say it again. The Great Tribulation. One more. The Great Tribulation. And the Great Tribulation, he is talking to his disciples. And they're going to be part of the church, starting with the apostles and the other disciples. And so he is teaching church truth, right? He's teaching church truth. And he's saying to these people in the church that you need to understand what I'm saying about the Great Tribulation. You know why? Because you're going to be here. I'm saying you're going to be here. The church is going to be here during the Great Tribulation. Most churches you go into that are Bible-believing churches, they're following what they learned from the Niagara Conference. And what was popularized in Dallas Seminary, because I had my Bible college, all the professors were Dallas-influenced. It's all Dallas. But guess what? I got Holy Ghost-influenced. I got Word of God-influenced. And even the fundamentalists that I went to, they were influenced by this. The fundamentalists got it wrong. They thought, we're out of here when the Great Tribulation. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. And I want to give you the words of Christ because you'll never go wrong. You had something to say, Brother Matthew?
Yes, sir. I missed the transition from Jesus talking to the Pharisees to his disciples. So you're 100% right.
Yes. All right. Amen. You're wrong, Matthew? All right. Amen and amen. He knows a lot of Bible, but that's right. He's looking at the Bible, and he's seeing it in the Bible. And that's what I want you to do. I don't want you to just listen because I'm saying it. I'm not a paper pope. I want you to see it in the Bible so that you are a Bible believer. What does it say about the Bereans? They search those things out to see if it was in the Scripture. And I've always been that kind of a Christian. I'll look in the Scripture. I don't care who the man is. I'll give him due respect and due honor, but I'm not going to build my convictions just on a man. Now, sometimes if it's a good man, if I don't see it, I'll follow him until I do see it. Amen? But I'm going to follow the Scripture. So yes, that is talking about the tribulation. And notice that when the Lord talks about the end of the church age, the Great Tribulation, he's talking to his disciples in the church. And so this is for a church age believer. Now, here's what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. I believe about this time and as we build toward this time. And can you not see that we're building toward the Great Tribulation? Can you not see it all around you? It's pushing in. It's coming in this time. Now, the key to the Great Tribulation is a one world government. Globalism. Preachers used to preach about it way in the future. Now it's like in the news. So people think I'm preaching politics. I'm not preaching politics. I am simply preaching prophecy. And I'm saying this is what is happening. And the Great Tribulation is the one world government under the Jewish Antichrist and the Gentile world ruler. And it's going to be a time of great fascism and Marxism worldwide. It won't last long. Amen. It won't last long. Guaranteed that. The Lord's going to put an end to it quickly. Praise God. But here's what the Apostle Paul said to young preacher Timothy about it. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things." You see, there are going to be homosexual churches. There already are. There are going to be all kinds of things going on that shouldn't go on. And as we get to the end times, they're going to try to rule God out of everything. I noticed some of these demon rat communist newscasters are all upset because of anti-abortion laws in certain states like Tennessee and some of these states. They're all upset that students are not being forced because they upheld a ban. One of the courts upheld a ban on, they call it gender-affirming care. What it is mutilation of the body of our young people. It's terrible. And thank God that some people are standing up to it. It's an answer to prayer in our country. But Paul is talking about when the Great Tribulation comes, everybody's going to go along with this liberal, communist, Marxist, fascist agenda. And so he said again, and here's what he said again in the Thessalonian epistles. He said, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." That's talking about the Great Tribulation followed by the Day of the Lord. In other words, that's pointing to the Day of the Lord. The Bible tells us there's going to be the beginning of birth pangs, and then there's going to be 3.5 years of that while the globalists get their government that they finally want. They're going to be allowed to get it, and we will be here. The church will be here for that time. Thank God we're not entered into that time yet, but we will, and then it will come to the Great Tribulation. And at the point of the Great Tribulation, it says, and he says here, and I'll read it again, that when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them. When will they say peace and safety? And then and it'll be like a thief in the night when the Lord comes. But when shall they say peace and safety? And what do they mean by peace and safety? Any one of the men want to hazard that one? All right, Luke, we'll get you on this one.
During the mark of the beast?
Yeah, during the mark of the beast. You say, why would they say peace and safety? It's the Great Tribulation. Because it's not a great tribulation for them. Was it a tribulation for the German people when Hitler was killing the Jews? No, it was the highest time in their nation. A lot of them claimed they didn't know what was going on. They just hid from it because economically they were rich. They had been in poverty through the inflation of the First World War, the result of the war, and it was just terrible in Germany. When Hitler rose to power, they were rich. They were increased with goods. The nation was thriving. Oh, he was just killing Jews. I know. Killing Jews. But they'll say peace and safety. When the global government comes, Rachel Madcow will be going, "Oh, this is great." It's not going to last, though. It's not going to even last 3.5 years. Because, by the way, socialism doesn't last. They're trying it in this country. It's not going to last. And I'm just saying, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as a woman with child, and that means they're going to have labor pains. Now, they've already had the beginning of labor pains. So what labor pains is this talking about? Does anybody know? Any men know? What labor pains is this talking about? It's talking about the labor pains of the day of the Lord. After Jesus raptures us, the world is going to be hammered with judgments from heaven. And they'll know it's from the Lord because they'll see his glory in the sky. And these judgments will be poured out over part of the last 3.5 years. And it'll be one pain after the other until he actually touches down and cleans up and then goes up and gathers his angelic army and does the battle of Armageddon. I don't know about you, but we need to understand this teaching of Christ's second coming. So many people misunderstand it. And we need to understand it. And so the Lord says that the Jewish Antichrist shall do miracles and lie to people and say that he is the Christ. And the beast, who I believe will be Hitler, brought back at first disguised and then revealed. Even in America, you know, people were marching with flags today with Nazi symbols. They were. And in Europe, they're doing it. Hitler, they're getting ready for the second coming of Hitler. The beast, the Gentile beast, and a Jewish Antichrist that's going to lead people to worship. You know George Soros is a Jew? You know the Rothschild guy that just died is a Jew? You know the Jewish people are some of the rottenest and worst people on earth, and yet they're the chosen people? I don't know about that, maybe. But I'm just saying, the devil got in Judas Iscariot, who was a Jew. But then Jesus was a Jew. Peter, James, and John were Jews. And God has chosen the nation of Israel. Why? Because they're so good? No, because they're bad, but God loves them. And he's going to save Israel. And so we should love God's elect, even if they're enemies right now, for the gospel's sake. We should still love Israel and not get caught up like Luther did and got mad at the Jews. Don't do that. And hate them and be hating on them. No, you bless them because God's going to bless them. Amen? And so the Lord is talking, and all this will be used to bring the nation of Israel to their knees, you know? And so Jesus put it this way. He said, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet," who's he talking about? "Ye shall see." Believers in the church that are here, ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. That's talking about the temple's going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. That's talking about that's going to happen. I remember 1967 when the Jews took over Jerusalem. I was all excited because I said, "Wow, they're going to rebuild the temple." And I was all excited in 1970. I'm still excited. And it's 2024. And it hasn't happened. I've been watching since 1967. And I'm still watching. It's going to happen. And I'm teaching you guys to watch. So even if it takes your children, Ben, or your grandchildren, you'll keep it. You'll keep teaching them that. And when you go out to the conference, you're going to hear men that don't believe that. They're going to be great men of God. But you don't follow them in that. You follow your preacher who follows the Word of God in that. Because God wants me to make this stuff known. And if you're just like, get off this, I don't want to get, then you are not really going to be a mature Christian who loves his coming and the doctrine of his coming. And I'm so thankful I could teach on this in a Baptist church. If I went into another Baptist church where the pastor didn't believe that, I wouldn't teach all this. No, it's not my role. I'm saying the invitation is during the Great Tribulation, Jesus said this. He said, Then let them which live in Judea flee unto the mountains. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ. That means that the Antichrist will send out representatives saying that he is the true Christ, and there'll be false prophets who will show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible they should deceive the very elect. God is warning you that when that time comes, that if you know people that are hiding from the Jewish Antichrist who's giving out the mark of the dictator, that you should keep them hid, or you should keep them safe, or tell them don't come out of hiding if they haven't taken the mark of the beast. The Jewish people that are hiding in and around Jerusalem, they should not come out of hiding, because you see, if they do, they will be killed by the Antichrist, or they may be tempted to take his mark. If they're not part of God's people, they'll be tempted to take it. Even God's people will be tempted to take it. By the way, when we had the dry run of the jab, did a lot of people take it? Look at how many people just fell into that. Look how many people don't have discernment now. Think of how it's going to be in those days when there's so much devilish deception. This is a warm-up, friends. You need to get ready, get the warm. I was in a Subway and bus ministry, and I was eating, looking at Ray and Derek, or whatever pharmacy that is in Kaiser Oak. I was looking at it out of Subway's window, and they were advertising real nicely, coming and get your vax. It's killed 20 million people at least already. People are dying of myocarditis, which is basically the inflammation of the heart. And then a pericarditis, which is the stuff around the heart. They're having these blood clot-like huge clots inside their blood that they're finding and reporting on. And people are stupidly lining up to take it. Ignorance. And these people in the media, they're going and people just go along with it. How is it going to be then when the mark of the beast comes? Right. It's going to be more tough. Right. It will only be Holy Ghost discernment that will keep people from it. And you stay away from it if you can, and stay away from the beast and from what he is doing during that time. And it'll take divine protection to really protect you. But the invitation is, oh, you're hiding out in the wilderness of Judea. You're hiding out in Jordan in the caves. Come on out. The kingdom of God is here. It's here. Christ is here. Your Messiah is here. Miracles are being done. Come on out. Join the crowd. This, it will be a religious deception now. The liberals will get their miracles. And people will be deceived. And what did Jesus say? One of the men tell me, so that you won't need to be deceived about Christ coming. When I come, he said, you won't need to look out here in the desert for me, or look out here for me. When I come for the rapture, what are you to look for? What's the sign, the one sign that he's here?
Look for the glory in the sky.
Go ahead.
Look for the glory in the sky.
I think this thing died. So we'll give him a
little. Look for the glory in the sky.
Look for the glory in the sky. After everything is darkened and tsunamis happen and people are freaking out, God's people, if they're taught, they should be able to say, praise God, our redemption draws nigh, and then see his glory. And you won't have to come out and walk into the beast's arms. You'll go right into the angel's arms and be carried to Jesus. That's how it's going to happen. It will be with observation for his people. It will be with observation at that time for those that are alive in that second coming time. It will be. They will see it, beloved. And what will they do? They'll be like Rachel Maddow. Rachel Madcow. They'll be like CNN when Trump got elected. You see, people talk about fighting against it, but they won't be able to fight that. And when God does something, God takes the fight out of people. And all these people, these liberals that say if Trump gets in there and we can't cheat him out of it, and it's so overwhelming, boy, we're going to just rise up and kill everybody. Not if God's in it. Right. He will humble them right down. Right. They'll be arrested and marched off to firing squads. You mark my words. If this is a preview of coming attraction, and I pray it is. I pray it is. And is that proper? Yes. We should fight. And we should say, he's coming again, and he's going to pour out his wrath. But before that, the beast is going to rise to power. But not on my watch, if I can help it. But when it comes, listen to me, you'll know it comes. And then you'll look for the Lord to return. What a blessing that will be. Do you love his appearing? Are you waiting for it? Are you watching for it? Are you working for the kingdom? Because those that get saved will reign with him in his kingdom. Are you doing it? We're a heavenly people. We're distinct. We're not the Republican Party. We're certainly not the Demon Rat Party. Although I'm glad Mitch McConnell's not coming back. I hope we get somebody better. But we are the church. Let the church be the church. Amen?
Amen.
And look for his coming. Work for his coming. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about his misunderstanding.